find when you were growing up that kids in the school playground who had a big brother in a higher grade always seemed to have a more relaxing and peaceful time at playtime, at lunchtime and at morning tea. Did you ever notice that? There was always someone around to stick up for them if they needed it. You could say that there was help available if required. Now, perhaps you knew someone like that who had a big brother who stuck up for them in a higher grade. Maybe you were one of those kids. So bullying in the playground was something they seemed to have protection from. Today, in Psalm 91, we're reminded that we have a kind of protection that extends far beyond the schoolyard. In fact, it applies to our entire life. The psalmist here reminds us that God offers shelter and refuge to all who call upon his name. There's even an assurance here of the kind of things that we can expect when we trust God. So today, we're going to take the time to remind ourselves of three different things. Firstly, how we ourselves come to be under the kind of protection that the psalmist is confident of here. But also what kind of things we can expect to be protected from. And then finally, what kind of life we can look forward to having as a result of being under God's protection. Well, the psalmist starts off with these words. He says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." One of the things we see from the outset here is that there's a choice to be made by us as individuals. It's a choice that leads to having God's protection over you. Now, the choice seems to be available to anyone. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High." It's like there's an open invitation here. It's open to whoever. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. He says it again down in verse 9. "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent." So essentially, if you seek to dwell with God, and you say with your mouth, "God is my refuge," if you're prepared to say that to people, if you actively seek to live in his house, which, as we saw with the kids, that means to actually live by God's ways, God's commands, live under God's roof, if you acknowledge and declare your dependence on him, show it by how you live, then the Lord will respond, as the psalmist says here in verse 14. God says, "Because he loves me, I will rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name." What's clear from this verse is that this protection comes from God himself because of the relationship that we have with him. When we live this way, when we live according to his ways, according to his rules, this is a relationship that anyone can have, this relationship with our Father in heaven, if they choose to acknowledge him with their mouth and live according to his ways. Now listen to this, because this part is really cool. Jesus, God the Son, is the exact representation of his Father. In a sense, he's the physical manifestation, God in the flesh, if you like, of the Most High God. Hebrews chapter 1 says that the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so we have Jesus, God the Son, the exact representation of the Father. He occupies this very same space as far as protection and acknowledgement goes. He even tells us that if we acknowledge him, he will acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. But there is a catch. He also says that the opposite's true. If we don't acknowledge him, then the reverse happens. Now, we actually talked about this at our CQ Alive camp last weekend with our youth. This very same matter came up during the talks. Whoever acknowledges me before others, this is Matthew chapter 10, 32, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. There's that same acknowledgement, saying, yes, I trust Jesus. He is ruler. He is Lord of my life. I will live by his ways. But then verse 33, whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Now, did you notice that very same word? Whoever. Whoever acknowledges me. This is open to anyone. Anyone who wants to dwell in God's house, you know, whoever acknowledges Jesus, they stand to gain the same protection described here in Psalm 91. How amazing is that? And so if anyone acknowledges Jesus, who is the exact representation of the Father, and we walk in all his ways, which are his Father's ways, look at what the psalmist is expecting to enjoy as a result of that relationship. Again, it's verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And this is a strong declaration, isn't it? Look at it for a minute. I will rescue him. I will protect him. These are not idle words, are they? They're not momentary and fleeting, like some words that people speak. They're resolutions. They're definite. I will rescue him. I will protect him. They're not, you know, maybe, or if I'm free that day, you know, if I'm not busy with something else, I'll have a go at looking after him. No, these are certainties. Powerful words of commitment from our Heavenly Father. Take a look at the kind of things that we can expect to be rescued from, delivered from. We've already seen there that no disaster will come near your tent, he says. Now, hands up if you've already been camping this holidays. A few hands, yes, a few hands going up. We had a number of tents and swags up at CQ Alive. Hands up if you might be going camping this coming week of the holidays. Yeah, still a few hands, similar hands. No, Leanne? Okay. Well, back when this was written, people were used to living in tents far more, you know, for far more than just their holidays. You know, their holiday to the beach or to a campsite or so on. This is talking about disaster not coming to, like, your house, your family unit. And then in verses 3 and 5 and 6, He says, surely he'll save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the plague that destroys at midday. There's a lot of things listed here that we no longer need to fear if we are under God's protection. We don't need to fear man and his scheming, his schemes, whether it's, you know, raiders in the dark of the night, thieves or so on, arrows of war during the daytime, plagues and pestilence. Seen a bit of them lately. He's saying, do not fear. There's no need to fear such things because you are under God's protection. But there's another thing to point out. It doesn't say explicitly that we don't have these things in our life. That's not what he's saying. So if you look down at verse 15, it's very clear from this verse, we don't avoid these things, but rather God is there with us and walks with us through these things, whatever the drama might be in your life. So look at what the psalmist is saying there. This stuff is going to be going on all around you, but do not fear, he says. We're not expecting a trouble-free life, but God will rescue us. God will bring us through. In such times as these, when the trouble comes on, we are to maintain our trust in God, our reliance upon him, our acknowledgement of him, and our love for him. Verse 15 says there, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. See that? I'll be with him in trouble. So you won't be free from trouble, but God will be with us then. I will deliver him and honor him. The Lord is going to be there whenever we need him. He's always there, in fact. But when we're in trouble, we are to call out to God. Ever been in trouble and had to call out for help? Ever had that? Yeah? Yep. When we're in trouble, we are to call out to God and he will answer. But even more than that, he will deliver us. Not just answer, oh, looks like you're in a spot of bother there. No, he will actually deliver us. How much of a boost is that to our confidence? Listen to the assurance that we have from God our Saviour right there. Trust God, acknowledge him, call out to him, and he will deliver you. Consider the Israelites in Egypt for a moment. They called out to God, didn't they? And he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. God led them through all the different trouble. The plagues, throughout the plagues, he kept them safe, especially the Passover. You know, all the Egyptians were mourning the loss of their firstborn. They were terribly afflicted. The Israelites were saved. Israel were delivered, and the Egyptian army was totally destroyed when they crossed the Red Sea. At our VIPNet Junior Camp this year, earlier on in the term, we were reminded how Daniel and his friends were delivered from all kinds of trouble because they acknowledged God and trusted him. They lived according to God's ways. They were not ashamed to even acknowledge him before foreign kings like Nebuchadnezzar and King Darius. These guys were rescued from furnaces and lions' dens and various other, you know, severe difficulties, as have many other people who have trusted in God down through the ages. Jesus himself acknowledged his Father and lived according to his ways. The evil one tried to tempt him. You might remember, 40 days in the wilderness, straight after he was baptized in the Jordan. The evil one even came to him, quoting lines from this psalm. 40 days Jesus endured temptation and did not give in. You might remember Jesus was taken to the highest point in the temple, and the evil one told him to throw himself down. You remember that? The angels will catch you, he says. That way you'll prove that God, you have God's protection. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 4, from verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, and this is where he quotes Psalm 91, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus shows us the kind of faith that we are to have, a kind of trust in God. We're not to put him to the test every time, you know, we might forget how trustworthy he is, how reliable he is. We're not to put God to the test. There's a confidence here similar to how a little child might have complete trust in their parents. That trust sort of slowly disappears as they get older, like teenagers, for example. But as little kids, that absolute trust that they have in their parents, that's the kind of trust we're meant to have in Jesus and in God, our Father in heaven. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. There are various stories out there of people being rescued, they don't know how, from various situations that they know they should have, if not perished, at least been severely injured. But somehow they were rescued. But we're not to put God to the test every time we doubt his goodness for us. Every time we wonder if we really do have his protection. But it says there that we can remember also that Jesus provided purification for our sins. That came from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Just after we read that he's the exact representation of God the Father. Jesus providing purification for our sins means that we have nothing left to fear. There is now no condemnation left. Nothing to be concerned about. The penalty for our sins has been paid for. It says there that, well, the psalmist says that we'll actually trample the great lion and the serpent. I think this seems to be a reference to Satan himself. We will trample the great lion and the serpent. And so we have nothing left to fear. The great accuser has nothing left in the kit bag to accuse us of. And this is great news. This is the news that we proclaim when we acknowledge Jesus as our Saviour, our Rescuer, and our King. Did you notice that last line of the psalm? Verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the salvation that we see in Jesus. Knowing that our sins are forgiven. Knowing that there is no longer any outstanding debt. We are free to dwell in God's house forever. And this brings us to consider the final thing today, our final section. What kind of life can we expect or look forward to under God's protection? As we've already seen, it's not going to be trouble-free, but he will walk us through it so that we don't fear the kind of things that the rest of the world fears. We have nothing to be afraid of when we acknowledge Jesus and live according to his ways, which are God's ways. So what can we look forward to? Well, it's a life of worshipping him and glorifying him, honouring him for all that he's done for us, and giving him thanks and praise. Now we're going to explore that a little bit more deeply next week in Psalm 96. But think about it for a moment. We've got nothing to fear in life but simply trusting in God because our debts are paid. We have a Father in heaven who promises to be there whenever we need him. His Son, who is God in bodily form, the exact representation of his being, he commits, certainly at the Great Commission, but in other places as well, he says, "Surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." And we have the commitment that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us when we give our lives to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is promised to us, and he will guide us all the way through our life. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together, always with us, walking with us at all times. We have an amazing God who's working together in all things for our benefit. How can we not rejoice? How can we sit on our hands as if nothing was worth mentioning here? Well, we can't. It's only right to praise him, to glorify his name for all that he's done for us in Jesus and the salvation that he brings to our tent. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your protection over our lives. We thank you for the refuge that you offer us, that you walk with us through our times of trial and need. Lord, we particularly thank you that Jesus has come and taken our place on the cross. We thank you that your Holy Spirit transforms us as he lives in us, as he dwells in us, to make us your people. We thank you that he also confirms our place with you in your kingdom forevermore. Lord, help us. Help us to truly know what it means to live under your roof. Help us to walk in your ways. Lord, help us to love you because of all that you've done for us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.